twisted and the limbs are bending down. I pick 'em all day for a dollar, boys, as I go rambling around. As I go rambling around.
Woodrow Wilson Guthrie, Woody Guthrie, was born, fittingly enough, 100 years ago on Bastille Day, July 14, 1912, in Okemah, Oklahoma. Music festivals around the country will be marking this centennial. Many of us know Woody by his most famous song, This Land Is Your Land, but he recorded many, many other songs, essentially a writer and a cartoonist, biographer, extremely productive. His Dust Bowl songs, his songs about the Pacific Northwest, are all American classics and chronicled at the Smithsonian Museum. Today, we're joined by Eli Smith to talk about Woody Guthrie, his life and his music. Eli is a folklorist, banjo player, writer, and a researcher, and has recently come out on Smithsonian Folkways Records, the same record company that produced Woody Guthrie's records, with the album The Old Man Below. Eli has an internet radio show called Down Home Radio Show, and we're real glad to have him on the program. Eli, welcome back to Law and Disorder.
Hey, glad to be here. Glad to be back.
You know, a lot of people have been influenced by Woody Guthrie. Ramblin' Jack Elliott, Bob Dylan went out to see him towards the end. And I know you've been very influenced by Woody Guthrie yourself. Tell us a little bit about Woody.
Well, Woody Guthrie would have been 100 years old had he lived to 100 this year. He was born on July 14th, Bastille Day, in a little town called Okemah, Oklahoma. As I say, July 14th, 1912. He moved here to New York, to Brooklyn, in 1940, so there's a lot of events going around the city to mark his 100th birthday. Of course, Woody Guthrie is the author of the well-known song, This Land Is Your Land, maybe an early kind of power to the people song, often known as a kind of second national anthem, for at least for some people here in America, sung by school children and so on. But actually, Woody Guthrie was really a radical guy. He was a socialist, just a radical artist in his era, working with the young Pete Seeger and Leadbelly and numbers of other folk singers in the early New York City folk music scene in the 1940s.
Before he came to New York and really settled here, he came from Oklahoma, went out to Texas, went out to California, had some experience underneath his belt before he came to New York. I suppose that's what so entranced radicals in New York. Woody Guthrie was the real thing. Talk about some of his experience and what he brought to New York City.
Well, Woody Guthrie played up his authenticity card quite a lot as a hobo and a rambling man and an authentic country personality. He was much more than that. His father was a successful businessman in real estate and stuff out in Oklahoma in the boom times there in the early 20th century, in the 20s. But then Woody's family suffered some real tragic events which put Woody out on the road. So he had grown up in kind of a stable middle class kind of family in Oklahoma in a little town. But then his mother began to suffer from Huntington's disease, the disease that ultimately killed Woody Guthrie in 1967 at the age of 55. But it began to affect his mother. She was committed to an insane asylum, and his father suffered business setbacks, and his sister was killed in a fire. And all these things destroyed their family and set Woody Guthrie on the road at a young age, where he interacted with migrant workers and so on in the Great Depression era and the Dust Bowl conditions of environmental degradation in the Southwest in the 1930s, and that brought him to California.
On that trip, because he went from Oklahoma to California, Eli, and he traveled with migrant workers on that, I understand. Well, and he also wrote a song about migrant workers, so maybe it's a time to just at least mention that song and what that song is. And
Woody Guthrie did travel with migrant workers. Of course, there were hundreds of thousands or millions of migrant workers that were riding the rails and so on in the 1930s. It was the great era for that, when working-class Americans hit the road to try to find work anywhere that they could. In California, Woody started his career also as a radio personality, playing on the radio music. He was already writing and painting. He was a multifaceted artist, which he wrote many songs about migrant workers. The deportees song, the plane wreck at Los Gatos Canyon. Woody never recorded that song. It was set to music later. I don't really like the tune that it was set to, but looking at the words, you can kind of tell what tune Woody actually set it to. Woody Guthrie, I don't believe he ever wrote an original melody. He was just a writer of words and a very, very talented one. I believe Woody Guthrie wrote the Deportees song to the tune of Get Along Little Dogies, Whoopie Tie Io, Get Along Little Dogies.
Right, it's called, I think, Deportee, parentheses says, Plane Wreck at Los Gatos. Right, and refers to, I guess, about migrants going somewhere, home, and a plane
wreck. Well, I think
they
were deporting Mexicans back to Mexico, and there was an airplane which crashed and killed them. So he wrote a song commemorating that.
Eli, I understand that Woody also wrote political articles, books, even autobiographical sketches for radical newspapers. And
that's right.
He was a hater of injustice, but remained optimistic.
Yeah, definitely. Woody Guthrie started out writing a column for the Communist Party newspaper in California called the People's Daily World, I think it was called. And he continued that column in New York with the...
Daily Worker.
The Daily Worker, thank you. And his column was called Woody Says, which was basically the same thing as Will Rogers' column, which I think was called Will Rogers Says. Woody loved Will Rogers, another Oklahoman. He was a Native American and an early sort of stand-up comic, and he was the host of Ziegfeld's Follies in New York, a very, very famous political commentator. In any case, Woody really admired Will Rogers and kind of modeled himself on Will Rogers and also on Walt Whitman in terms of his writing and his poetry. So Woody Guthrie was a public intellectual, not just a folk singer. Not only was he a writer and performer of songs, but he also wrote poetry and he wrote prose and he wrote newspaper sort of opinion pieces. And he was also a talented painter and visual artist. He was really a Renaissance man, and much of that work has been published in the years since his death. His landmark autobiographical novel, Bound for Glory, was published in 1943. Definitely a part of the proletarian novel sort of format. But was also prefigured people like Jack Kerouac in a lot of ways in terms of being on the road and experiencing life from the bottom up as kind of an outsider. It was very, very interesting and very innovative. Would hope that people would also recognize him in that fashion as well.
I read that he also wrote children's songs.
Woody Guthrie had 8 children over the course of his life. And he loved kids. He was kind of a big kid himself in some ways. And he did several albums of children's songs for the Folkways record label, now the Smithsonian Folkways record label. And they're just wonderful songs, and those albums continue to be some of his most popular work.
I also understand he wrote Yiddish songs.
He wrote, his second wife, Marjorie Matzier Greenblatt, was Jewish, and they lived together in Coney Island in a Jewish section of town. Woody started to write some sort of Jewish-themed songs. He wrote some Hanukkah songs, and it's funny because they're very droll and southwestern, but celebrating Hanukkah and stuff like that.
I'm anxious to listen to them, but I have a question. Arlo was one of the products of that marriage, I think.
Sure.
We've talked about This Land Is Your Land, and actually a couple of questions about that. I go to one baseball game a year. I went yesterday or last week to the Yankees-Cleveland game, and of course, there was a catch that the guy didn't really catch the ball, and then the Indians, who are my home team from Cleveland, which is not politically correct, but that's who they're called, but the Cleveland baseball team lost the game 6-4. At the end of like the seventh inning, they stood up and they played God Bless America, Kate Smith recording, your dad tells me. And I said to my neighbors at the time, knowing that I was going to interview you the next day, saying, I think Woody Guthrie wrote This Land Is Your Land as a counter to God Bless America. What do you know about that?
Well, as far as I know, yeah, Woody Guthrie was kind of traveling around and hoboing around, and he kept hearing that song on jukeboxes. He really hated sort of this insipid pop music that's been droning on the airwaves for almost 100 years now. So he composed This Land Is Your Land as kind of a response to that song. He set his words to a hymn that he probably grew up with or heard on a Carter Family record called When the World's on Fire. And that tune probably came into his head, and he wrote out the words. And he wrote that song a number of years before it was first recorded. But since that time, it's really become sanitized because they kind of took out the more communistic verses. But it has become very well known, and as I say, is kind of a second national anthem along with America the Beautiful.
When he says this land is your land, do you have any sense of who he's referring to as the your? Is it just white Europeans who came? Is it everybody who's here? Who is it?
Through his song, he's trying to tell you that this land is your land, whoever you might be, and in his mind that would be the working class of whatever stripe or skin color.
There are a couple of verses to that song that are so wonderful. Obama was inaugurated. Pete Seeger was down in Washington at rally, and he sang the two verses that had been previously really censored. And I wonder if you could do those verses for the audience.
Well, you asked me to sing a bit of This Land Is Your Land with the often excluded verses that Woody wrote. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. Was a great high wall there that tried to stop me. A sign was painted, said private property, but on the back side, it didn't say nothing. That sign was made for you and me. And then there's another verse, maybe this is the one you're thinking of, that says, in the squares of the city, in the shadow of the steeple, by the relief office, I saw my people. And as they stood there hungry, I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me.
Excellent. That was really moving.
Yay, Eli. Those verses are subversive. Eli, is there another song or two of Woody's that are particularly favorites of yours that you'd like to share with us?
We'd love to hear it.
Well, I have another Woody Guthrie song that I'd like to play for you on your show. And it's a lesser-known one. Of course, This Land Is Your Land is his best-known song. But here's one called I've Got to Know, which Woody did record and which was also recorded in a nice version by Utah Phillips. I've Got to Know by Woody Guthrie, set to the tune of the hymn Farther Along. I've got to know, yes, I've got to know, friend. Hungry lips ask me wherever I go. Comrades and friends all falling around me. I've got to know, yes, I've got to know. Why do your war boats ride on my waters? Why do your death bombs fall from my sky? Why do you burn my farm and my town down? I've got to know, friend, I've got to know. What makes your boats haul death to my people? Nitro blockbusters, big cannons and guns. Why don't your ship bring food and some clothing? I've got to know, yes, I've sure got to know. Why can't my two hands get a good paid job? I can still plow, plant, I can still sow. Why did your law book chase me off my good land? I've got to know, friend, I've just got to know. I've got to know, yes, I've got to know, friend. Hungry lips ask me wherever I go. Comrades and friends all falling around me. I've got to know, yes, I've got to know. What good work did you do? I'd like to ask you to give you my money right out of my hands. I built your big house to hide from my people. Why do you hide so? I've got to know. You keep me in jail, you lock me in prison. Your hospital's jammed and your crazy house full. What made your cop kill my trade union worker? You'll have to talk plain, 'cause I've got to know. Why can't I get work and cash a big paycheck? Why can't I buy things in your place and your store? Why do you close my plant down and starve my buddies? I'm asking you, I've got to know. I've got to know, yes, I've got to know, friend. Hungry lips ask me wherever I go. Comrades and friends all falling around me. I've got to know, yes, I've got to know.
Great, Eli.
That's a beautiful
Thank
song.
You.
I had never heard that song, but you know, you could have written that song yesterday.
It's a lesser known one. Yeah, it seems quite contemporary.
Woody Guthrie died in 1967. You were born in 1982.
That's right.
You're 30, and he would have been 100. But he reached out over these decades, and I know you were very interested in him since you were a teenager. Talk to us about how he's influenced you and what you're doing with respect to his music.
Woody Guthrie has been very influential to a lot of people. For me, I always loved his songs, and being a leftist politically, I enjoyed that aspect of Woody Guthrie, but I always also enjoyed him as a folk musician from the Southwest, and a good old-time musician. He played the guitar as well as the mandolin, the fiddle, and the harmonica. And he was a wonderful musician. I loved his sound from the first moment that I heard it. So that's what I really liked about Woody Guthrie in addition to his politics. A lot of people just take his music as, you know, kind of a liberal or left political song. But I really concentrate on his style, and I'm an old-time string band musician. I record for the Smithsonian Folkways record label, as Woody Guthrie did, and that's been an honor. I'm hosting and curating a Woody Guthrie at 100 tribute concert at the Jalopy Theater on July 14th, Woody Guthrie's actual 100th birthday. That's on Saturday, July 14th, and at the Jalopy Theater, 315 Columbia Street in the Carroll Gardens, Red Hook area of Brooklyn. Jalopy.biz is the website. Or you can check out my internet radio show, Down Home Radio, downhomeradioshow.com, where I'll be posting information about the Woody Guthrie tribute at the Jalopy Theater. We're going to have a number of performers performing his songs, including myself, as well as John Cohen from the New Lost City Ramblers. I'll be reading from Woody Guthrie's works of poetry and prose. Jamie Longy will be there to read from his father's memoir. Jamie's father served with Woody Guthrie in the Merchant Marines in World War II. The Dust Bowl and World War II were the primary events in Woody Guthrie's life. So Jamie will be reading a little bit about that as well. We'll also be screening a short film, which is the only footage of Woody Guthrie in his prime. It's a film called To Hear Your Banjo Play that was made by Alan Lomax in the 1940s and is narrated by a young Pete Seeger. And it's just a wonderful film and features some wonderful performance footage of Woody Guthrie. So if you want to hear a whole bunch of his music performed by some great contemporary performers, as well as all that other stuff, come down to the Jalopy on July 14th and help us celebrate Woody Guthrie's 100th birthday.
And Eli, if we want to hear some of your music, how do we get that?
If you'd like to hear my band's new album on the Smithsonian Folkways record label, you can go to our website, dustbustersmusic.com, for more information on that. The album will be out in mid-August.
Eli Smith, it's been great. I've listened to your music since you've been a little kid. I went to the Brooklyn Folk Festival, heard you there, and hearing you play Woody Guthrie here was just wonderful. And, of course, your history and knowledge of Woody Guthrie is extraordinary. So thank you very much, Eli Smith.
Thank you, Eli.
Thank you, Eli.
Well, thanks a lot. And, of course, Michael Smith here is my dad, and it's just like the Alan Sherman thing, my son, the folk singer. So here we are, and thanks for having me on the show.
If you want to hear Law and Disorder again, go to lawanddisorder.org on the web. You should also go to Law and Disorder Radio on Facebook.
It drove us miners out of doors, out from the houses that the company owned. We moved into tents up at Old Ludlow. I was worried bad about my children, soldiers guarding the railroad bridge. Every once in a while a bullet would fly, kick up gravel under my feet. We were so afraid you'd kill our children, dug us a cave that's 7 foot deep, carried our young ones and a pregnant woman down inside the cave to sleep. That very night you soldiers waited till all us miners was asleep. You snuck around our little tent town, soaked our tents with your kerosene. You struck a match and the blaze it started. You pulled the triggers of your Gatling guns. I made a run for the children, but a firewall stopped me. 13 children died from your guns. I carried my blanket to a wire fence corner, watched the fire till the blaze died down. I helped some people drag their belongings while your bullets killed us all around. I never will forget the look on the faces, the men and women that awful day, when we stood around to preach their funeral and to lay the corpse of the dead away. We told the Colorado governor to phone the president, tell him call off his National Guard. But the National Guard belonged to the governor, so he didn't try so very hard. Our women from Trinidad, they hauled some potatoes up to Wallensburg in a little cart. They sold their potatoes and brought some guns back, and they put a gun in every hand. The state soldiers jumped us in the wire fence corners, did not know that we had these guns. And the redneck miners mowed down them troopers. You should have seen them poor boys run. We took some cement and walled the cave up, where you killed these 13 children inside. I said, God bless the Mine Workers Union. Then I hung my head and cried.